I'm Kelly Gorgeous. Thank you, Andrew, for the great introduction. I hope I can produce. That get knocked out.
Right. You're fine.
So it's been kind of a wild and crazy story of my life in getting to Friday Morning Fellowship. Like, if there were ever a guy in the history of the world that did not see themselves at Friday Morning Fellowship, it would be Kelly Gorgeous and the guy that you're standing here. And I would say probably 99% of the people that know me as well. So it's been a remarkable story. I'd loved it when Mark approached me to do this. It was something I'd truly been thinking about for a couple of years as I came here every Friday and saw other people do the same thing. So I'm glad to be able to do it. So I'll try to run through this and, you know, try to bear with me because speaking in public is not my favorite thing to do. And I've probably written this speech out in bullet points 20, 25 times. So this is what I have. So a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in Atlanta. I'm an eighth generation Atlantan. My mom's family's been here since like the Civil War. So I went to Skank School, which is a school for dyslexia, Woodward Academy, and then the University of Georgia with Andrew Day. What an experience that was. I got out of college. I was in the garbage business. We did roll-off dumpsters, grew a company that I thought I was going to be the next Wayne Huizenga, for sure, and it went like this, and then straight back down and lost everything. After that, I moved on to the insurance business, working for Robert Wynn, who's a member of this fellowship here for many years at Johnson & Bryan, and then had moved on to USI Insurance once we got purchased. I live with my wife, Kyle, my daughter, Wheezy, and my dog named Pickles, which is a very large part of my life. So I'll go ahead and get started with my journey to Christ. I grew up, went to Northside Methodist Church growing up as a kid, went to church every Sunday, but then became very entrenched with the Church of the Apostles. Grew up with a guy named Josh Youssef, who is the pastor's son over there. We went to Skank School and then Woodward together. So I was always running around with him, and then that's how I really originally met Andrew. From the very, very beginning was through the STS there. They had a summer trip where you went up to Michigan and ran around all these big wild sand dunes and all this and that. And that was where I truly gave my life to Christ. And that was, you know, the official moment and, you know, big emotional and all this and that. So it was really, really a big moment in my life. But then, you know, life happens. You start getting into high school and, you know, it's girls and running around and cars and sports and everything else like that. They kind of led me down a different path. And that's when I kind of started to veer away, and it went through college. And as Andrew said, you know, if there were two wilder people at the University of Georgia than Andrew Day and I at the same time, I'd never want to run into those guys because those are dangerous men that have nothing to lose. So, or at least they thought they didn't. Out of college and then college, it was trouble. I always struggled with getting in trouble. I mean, my poor father, if he had to have one more phone call, collect call from Athens, Clark County, you know, he had it. So my next trip was going to be to Iraq, which was going to be a lot of fun. So out of college, you know, I got out and got in the garbage business, but I live very selfishly. I live for myself. I live, you know, as my dad likes to call me, Good Time Charlie. It wasn't about doing good for others. It wasn't about helping people or living in faith or anything like that. So years and years go by, and you know, it's starting to go like this, even worse. And you know, I'd had some changes in my job and personal life struggles and stuff like that. And you know, as fate would have it, I'd go on a dove hunt, which I usually do every year with Andrew, down to Benjamin Jones's down in Macon, and I just kind of leaned over to Andrew. I was like, look, but I've heard about this men's group that y'all go to on Friday, and I've got to have something. Like, I have no zero balance here, and I can't seem to get myself straight. And he said, well, come on. And, you know, Hunter Amos was in the car, and he had been coming to this, and I knew Bobby Day always came, and then Robert Wynn, so I felt like this was probably the place for me. But when I walked in the doors, it was almost like my life changed instantly that day. What was so crazy about it is, you know, I was so scared to come to something like this because I didn't want people to tell me what I couldn't do. I didn't want them to say, well, you can't go there and you can't hang out with these guys. And that's not at all what this is about. I mean, this is not a judgmental crowd at all. And I would heavily suggest anybody that's looking for something to at least come in here and try this, because it has been exponential in my life. I mean, as soon as I came in here, Todd Harlow and my table mates and Chris White, who's the greatest, and James and everybody else, you figured out that you could come in here and be vulnerable and talk with people in breakout groups, to where you're not sitting here in front of 80 men trying to talk about something like this, but you could get with your group and really kind of get vulnerable and talk about things and realize that everybody goes through this stuff. I mean, 99% of the stuff that I've ever been through, somebody at my table has been through it twice, you know, which I brought a lot of comfort in me, because it's always been a struggle with me, whether it's one thing or another, and I'm a crazily intense person. So that mixed with competitiveness, it's very hard to separate things, and you feel like you have to win at all costs at any time, and that's no way to live. And if you can have faith in your situations that things are going to be all right and that you're going to inevitably it'll be fine, it changed my life completely. excuse me. So with it not being judgmental in here, and then understanding again that God has a plan for your life. And it may not be clear at the time, you know, when you don't get the business deal or something doesn't work out, and you're like, I can't believe this. And then, you know, it'll be 6 months and you can kind of look back on something and you're like, you know what? I didn't see it then, but I see it now. And, you know, thank you for that one. The Lord works in mysterious ways on that stuff. But what Friday Morning Fellowship has done for me is it really gives me a zero balance. I'm a guy that needs to be put in check about once a week, and that's how I do that. And I come in here on Friday mornings, I get here early, I talk to everybody, I do, you know, do the lessons, and I try to get as much out of this as possible. You know, it keeps me balanced, it gives me a great energy and faith to go out into the weekend, which a lot of times can be a tough situation, trying to live the right way. So this is something that has helped me be a better man, a better father, a better husband, a better business partner, and a leader of men, which who doesn't want that, right? I mean, that's good stuff, right? That's not hard to sell that. So it has changed just about everything. And I started noticing when I really started to buy in that doing the little things make a difference. We always laugh. Todd Harlow at my group or my table talks about putting grocery carts back. You know, it's stuff like that you start to do these things and you do it repetitively and continuously, and then it becomes second nature. You know, another guy at my table, John Chapman, says that he always gets extra money to give homeless people when he's at the bank, gets ones to make sure he has that. So I always carry cash for myself to give to homeless people, and that's something that I really want to help. Want to have a better chance or, you know, stability to really start helping people that can't help themselves. Because, you know, no matter how bad a day you think you're having, their day is worse every day. So helping somebody like that is going to be big. Let's see here, the little things. So usually people, when they come up here, or kind of in the guide, it talks about a movie or a book that they've read. And I watched a movie that was mind-blowing, and it was all about what I just talked about, doing the little things. And it's called Inmate Number One, The Rise of Danny Trejo. And Danny Trejo is a Mexican actor that everybody has seen him in movies. If you Google him, you'll know exactly who he is. He's a really rough-looking guy. But he had been addicted to crack since he was like 10. He'd been in every federal penitentiary in California. It, you know, he's killed a guy, all this and that, and he started doing a drug ministry in prison for guys that were hooked on drugs. And he said, literally, it's all about how his life changed immediately. When he started doing good for others and helping, his life changed. And it all of a sudden came back to him, like what you put out comes back. And he's helped hundreds of people with drugs and all this counseling. And then, you know, he's been in more movies now than John Wayne was in, which, you know, this guy never had any money, lived on the streets, and completely turned his life around. So that would be a good, if y'all are looking for something to watch, and it's a cool movie. I mean, it's really, really cool. That I urge you to check that out. And then a quote that, or a verse they said to have, we did a study of a book called Good to Great in God's Eyes at our table by Chip Ingram. And this quote just jumped out at me, and I think that was our first book that I did when I came onto the table, and it says, God delights to do impossible things through improbable people and impact exceeding grace on underserving recipients. And I'm your man. So that's something that really stuck to me, and I think that people can really kind of dig into that. Kind of in closing is my life's mission is to be stable enough in the situation, because God built me tough. I mean, I can take the hits, I can get up, I can keep moving. But I want to be able to do that for people that can't do that for themselves, you know, and help people. So in closing, men, I encourage you to give to the Day of Golf. You know, I'm proof of the power of this ministry. Invest in the lives of young men just like me, because we're going to be able to help change this town and for the better and spread the faith. So closing in prayer, please. Dear Lord, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to meet with these men and share my story today. You've blessed all of us with so much more than we can ever even imagine, and I thank you very much. Amen.